welcome to Voices of Freedom.
Radio.
The allergies have still got my head and voice messed up a little bit, or maybe it's just in my head. But nonetheless, we're going to try to march forward this morning and give you some good information about Jesus. We hope that's what happens every morning on here. But it's great. It's great to be a child of the King. It's great to know for certain that I'm going to go to heaven someday. And my whole purpose for this program is to tell you that, guess what, if Lunsford here can go to heaven, there's no reason in this world why you can't go to heaven. So my thought for this morning as I was thinking was, I am weak, but he is strong, I think is a song lyric. So I think I wrote down on the title of the message today is, I am weak, but he is strong. And it talks so many places in the Bible where if we're willing to just surrender and be led by Jesus, where he'll take over and get us through. There's so many places where if we would just recognize his power and then look at our own power and say, you know what, this isn't working. And that's about how I got saved in March 1997, because I realized that my power was nothing, but God's power was powerful enough to take me to heaven. But at the moment, it was powerful enough to just take me out of hell, and that was really what I was looking for. I wasn't trying to impress anybody. I wasn't trying to do anything special. I just was trying to escape hell because I was as sure as Christmas that it was coming. So this morning, as I think about the places in the Bible where the power of God has showed out, it shows on every page. I mean, he is God. He has preserved this Bible. Nothing has been able to get rid of the Bible. If you go through and do a search on biblical doctrine, you're going to find out that not only did they try to get rid of the Bible, that at one time they had destroyed even the last manuscript from the Old Testament there. So God had a man sit down and write it all back out the way he wanted it. And I'm going to tell you what I believe is he didn't miss a word from Genesis all the way through to Malachi. That's what I believe. So where are we today? I've been thinking in this politics, you know, as I've learned more recently to try to see other people's angles on the stuff. And I keep thinking of what Jesus talked about and told us about. It said, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. And I'm looking at these astronomical figures of money that are being raised and thrown out here in these races. And I think, wow, isn't that amazing? And then part of me says, you might compare me to Judas. And you're like, what? But Judas is the one that told Jesus, he said, y'all are wasting this perfume on rubbing it on your feet, but this could be sold for much. And Jesus said, well, the poor you always have with me. But I just think all this money being poured into politics, man, oh, man, couldn't it make a dent in our real problems out there? But then I have to remember, you know, Jesus said, render unto Caesar. So if a rich person wants to be involved in politics and wants to spend their money on that, it's their money. You know, what is that, J.G. Wentworth, it's your money. You know, do what you want with it. It's your money. So you have that, but that's sort of another lesson for another day, because today we just want to talk about the power of God. We want to talk about how with God in charge of things and how when God moves and he's your shield there, it talks about all the armor of God that we can put on there in the book of Ephesians. And what's that shield going to do for you? You see, the shield, of course, is going to keep the bullets away and keep the spears away or whatever people are throwing at you. But that there's something else. And when I put on that whole armor of God and I get that sword. And for years I had a guy I went to church with. He'd say, I got my sword with me. And, you know, I didn't know anything. I just got saved. But I came to know that the sword was his Bible. So the beautiful thing about having the sword of the Lord with you, which should be your Bible, is the sword could be an offensive weapon or it can be a defensive weapon. See, it's not always about making a fight. Sometimes it's just about defending the situation that you find yourself in. So as I look around and I want to put Jesus out there on the national stage, I'm encouraged about it. I think I go places and I see heads drop and I see some people get excited because some people have been dependent on that. An experienced businessman last night, I saw him. He goes to a pretty large church. He said, "I love to see that you're running." He said, "By the way, I know you're a Christian." And I said, "Wait till you see my signs. My signs say Jesus first." Now, that's pretty strong. So, with all the things that are going on out here, okay, with all the different things that are happening, don't you think it's just about time to put Jesus first? Why? Because of everything I just said. Because he's a shield that will guard us. We can pray, hedge up around us, Lord, and don't let the evil get to me. And God even gave us that in the prayer there in Matthew chapter 6, starting around verse 9. He said, pray that thy evil, what is that? That is the kingdom and the power. So give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. See, I can pray to be delivered from that kind of stuff. Now, it's a whole lot easier if I resist it some. Because somewhere over in there, it might be in the 1st or 2nd Peter, where it says, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Now, if you can't make up your mind whose side you want to be on, whether it's the devil's or the Lord's, you see, because they've got a beautiful picture painted of sin and the devil and all the crazy of the world. But at the end of the day, somebody pays a price on every sin. Now, granted, Jesus paid the price for the whole world. But you're going to pay individually for what you've done. Now, if I ask Jesus to forgive me of my sins, and I say, Jesus, I surrender, I'm putting you in charge of my life, you be my shield, now all of a sudden Jesus says, well, let me pay your sin debt. Well, guess what? If you choose not to let Jesus pay your sin debt, there's only one other person who can pay your sin debt. And that's the devil, right? That's hell. That's you paying it yourself in a place called hell. Because in Genesis, in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, I believe, it says, well, the wages of sin is death. Follow me? If I run through this life, and I think I've got power, and I think I don't need anybody, and I think there's nothing for me to look over, do over, whatever. I think if there's nothing out there, there's nothing for me, then I tell you what, I better think about Jesus. Because there is coming a day when everything I've ever done wrong, the lost person, he's going to be judged on that because he hasn't asked for Jesus to use his very own blood to cover out his sins or blot out his sins. See, I realized I had to have that in March 1997. I'm telling you today that you've got to have that. There's no other way around it. See, we live in a day and time where everybody thinks everything's okay and everybody's blaming everybody else for their problems, and this is a big old game the devil's playing because everything in the Bible is a personal relationship. It's a personal relationship. You say, oh, the Old Testament. Listen, you don't have to worry about the Old Testament. You better get worried about the New Testament and then work your way backwards if you need to. Because in the New Testament, the Lamb of God was sent to take away the sins of the world. John the Baptist said, there's one mightier than me that's coming that I'm not even worthy to untie shoes. But guess what? He's coming. Now, he's going to increase because I'm a forerunner of him. But I must decrease. See, John the Baptist knew what was going to happen. Was John great? Jesus said he's great. There ain't nobody any greater than John the Baptist because born of a woman, no one's any greater. That's big. That's super good. So at the end of the day, where are we at with all this? At the end of the day, we just have to recognize the power of God. Do I have to prove Jesus? No. Do I have to do a 30-year internship? Do I have to do Bible college? Do I have to get a divinity degree? I don't have to do anything except believe that Jesus Christ can save me. With all my heart, my mind, and my soul, if I believe Jesus Christ can save me, there's nothing to prevent me from going to heaven. You see where we're going with that? Nothing to prevent me from that. Now, if I wholeheartedly believe in Jesus and I ask him to forgive me, give me of my sins, there's going to be a joy that's going to start to come over me, and there's going to be a happiness, and there's going to be a time when I start to realize that, wow, not only did I surrender to Jesus, but now he's living in my heart. Now things are moving forward. I tell you what, it gets exciting when that happens. When Jesus is in control of your life, it's exciting. Now, it's not what you think it's going to be. Now, that could either be a good thing for you or it could be a bad thing. Like with my life, a lot of things needed to go. It was all good. But there's been some things that have constantly happened over the years, and I haven't really been able to explain them. But I look at what Paul said. Paul said, I have a thorn in my flesh, and I've prayed, three times that the Lord would take these problems away. And three times passed me by on it. So what's the point of that? Well, the point's really simple. God has you anchored in. Oh, there's things that are going to carry you and you're never going to know about it. But there's things that are going to be in your life and you wish you could get out of it. You wish maybe you could move out of the community you're in. You wish you could change jobs because of the people you're with. You wish. And Jesus says, my grace is sufficient for thee. What in the world's grace? Well, it's an unmerited favor that I found with God since I got saved. It's an unmerited favor that God's given out to the whole world. It's an unmerited favor. It's love and it's mercy and it's just all the things that we want for ourselves. But that same love and mercy and caring, we've got to care about others like that. That's the part we might be a little bit weak on. But if we could, man, oh man, if we could, wouldn't that be something? Now, what's next? Well, glad you asked. So I've got Jesus, who's the shield, and he's the protector. And I can't help but think of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And I think about that cross a lot. You know, if the Father is the piece of wood above where the two pieces go together, and the Son's on the right hand, and the Holy Spirit is on the left hand, and I look right in the middle where the wood comes together, and I see that's you and me right in the middle of all that. Because we're so much protected in this country, especially, but in this world, we have a protection about us that we should jump out of bed of a morning praising the Lord. Nobody shot at my house last night. Now, nobody broke into my house last night. I'm sure I've got neighbors around here, people that probably were, because it's starting to happen. Why is it happening? Well, it's happening because there's a hopelessness in our society. There's a drug problem in our society. There's a lack of discipline in our society. There's a lack of rules and rule following in our society. And nobody's afraid of the law. Nobody's afraid of the Lord. And, you know, you stop and look in, I think it's Proverbs, starting in chapter 1, but I think it's chapter 3 and 4 where it really gets into it. It says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. I don't care how much you know, until you have a good, healthy fear of the Almighty God, you don't really have anything, because you're going to continue to tempt that God. You're going to continue to run afoul of that God. You're going to continue racking up sins. You're going to get into things that you shouldn't be into, and you're going to get to a point one day where God says, I've tried so many times to get your attention. I've tried so many times, and I'm not going to keep coming after you. I've died for you, and God the Father says, I sent my Son for you, and the Holy Spirit says, I'm trying to live in your heart. We're trying to protect you like nobody else has ever tried to protect you. We're trying to be the shield of eternity. Man, oh man, we're trying to be everything that you need to get to heaven, and you're just not interested. See, until I realize I'm weak and he is strong, there's no possible relationship. Till I get a good, healthy fear of the Lord, and I got that in March 1997, I was so afraid that the Lord was going to kill me and put me in a devil's hell. Man, I was so concerned about that. But what happened? I surrendered. What happened? Well, when I surrendered, God gave me all of heaven right there, right on the spot. Yeah, but you didn't know anything about the Bible. Absolutely right. Well, you didn't have time to do any work for that. Absolutely right. Well, look at all the things you'd been doing and everything you had done that was wrong. And, oh, my gracious, how could you be saved? I knew you back when you were a sinner. See, I'm still a sinner, but I'm saved by grace. Now, what was that grace again? God's riches at Christ's expense is a good acronym. What's grace? It's an unmerited favor between us and God because we didn't deserve it. We talked about Romans 6:23 about how the wages of sin was death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Now, where are we at with all this? What will our plans be going forward? Will you surrender to Jesus and start a relationship? I hope so, because that's the master plan. That's what everybody wants to see you do. Everybody that's in a church, everybody that's a missionary, everybody that's on visitation, every single person wants to see you get saved. Now, there's a crowd with the devil that wants you to stay out there in the world. Keep doing what you're doing. You got plenty of time to get saved. Boy, oh boy, that's not true. I'm 51 now. I read that newspaper every day, and there's people on both sides of 50 to leave this world every day. I hope and pray that you know where you're at this morning. I hope and pray that you'd surrender to Jesus before it's too late. Talk to you soon. God bless.